capabilities. So I started recording at the end of what I was saying, but nonetheless, does that, I don't want to say make sense because that's what I usually say, but does that resonate with your heart?
So, the tension thing, yes, that tension thing.
But in here, I want you guys to know that number one, I'm with you. I'm feeling the same things that you're feeling. And I'm the one up here supposed to speak about it and you know, say, what are we doing? And I'm in the same boat. So I understand. And along with that also, I'm listening and I have an open heart to anything that the Lord wants to do and change. But I'm trying to be very, very responsible because I have my own struggles too. I have the own things where I feel like, man, I can't do it this month. I can't do that. And here I am supposed to be encouraging you, and I'm having the same, you know. But I also have a very keen sense of responsibility in my heart that I cannot and I will not give up God's best just because I feel uncomfortable in you know, inconvenienced. Because God's plan for my life isn't an inconvenience. God's plans for this church isn't an inconvenience. God's destiny for our community isn't an inconvenience. His gospel to the world is not an inconvenience. And if that's how it feels, then it's probably because the things that are being said from the front are what God's working at on our hearts. We have selfish ambition, and so our selfish ambition has to be removed before we feel like what God's doing is not an inconvenience and a joy. And so I don't have all the answers to tell you for what those feelings are, and I'm just having a sense of that from a lot of different people. And the choices that we make when we're feeling that way are important. You might not be here. And I'm not speaking to you because you're here. You might not be here because you're feeling all of those things. And I've never, from the front here, said, you know, you should never miss an impartee, you know, and if you miss it, you're out of the school. You know, I've tried to be as
he'll leave his wife up to the
flexible head and understanding for those kind of things because I live in the same world that you live in.
Great.
I've got things out. That was Nikki coughing.
Yeah.
Grace came out of it
Grace
somehow.
Came out of that coughing.
But at the same time, I'm also living in the same world where I'm trying to press forward for things that are hard. But the only way they're going to happen is if there's someone on the earth that does it. And I want it to be me. I want it to be you. So I understand, but with that understanding and that empathy comes a, let's do this together. Let's keep going forward together. Let's encourage one another. That's why we meet. That's why we're here. We could, you know, go home and then, you know, get our bills done and feel like we got another thing off the checklist for the day, but then we're still just as discouraged as before. Or we could get encouraged and encourage each other, go home, and yet we're in a new position to conquer what God wants us to conquer to. And that's a lot better than getting something off of the checklist and having 10% of our burden, you know, removed. I'd rather be in a, have the burden lifted 100% and feel like I'm in a new spot to conquer what God wants me to conquer than, you know, skip out on a time where God has, at least for this season, has, you know, designated as, you know, an encouraging and a time of impartation, and then go conquer the rest of the things that I have to do, then really miss out. And so that's also, I think, a heart plea of we need each person for every person to reach that spot. Like, it's really true. It's not a thing that we're saying. In every person that's here and not here, you have a role in what God's doing, and your role one day might be to encourage me, and you might not even realize it, but you kept me going on the path that I needed to be going on with your encouragement, yet you're not up here talking. It doesn't matter that you're not the one you're talking.
The word.
Because I need that just as much as you need that. Okay? But with the flip side of that is you could hear a word here and feel the camaraderie of there's other people in this world that are feeling the same things that I have because we're in a family together going through the same things, and you could be encouraged and then encourage the person who wasn't here, or even be used to release something new to encourage the entire body that we discover here. Because we're an intimate, very spiritual, very prophetic, very going after everything of the, you know, that we can type of group. And so we don't want to neglect that and think of ourselves in a way that we don't have those kind of things to offer. And so I encourage myself and encourage you guys, let's continue to encourage each other, continue to lift each other up, continue to pray for each other. Grab your worship leader and pray for them beforehand. Grab each other during worship practice and pray for each other. If you see, you know, anybody in the church, grab them, pray for them, encourage them. Speak words of life into each other. Because who else is going to do that? It's not going to probably come from your coworkers. It's probably not going to come from your checkbook. You know, you're probably not going to get the encouragement that you need from those. Not that God can't use that, but God has put us in a place that is designed for that. And the only way that that will fail is if we all fail in that together. And the only way it's going to succeed is if we all succeed in that together. And I hope that comes across as encouraging. It's just, and we're reaching the end of a calendar year. And so, you know, we're not going to necessarily have an in-party in December. We might have a get-together or something fun, but we don't have a scheduled time to give you guys time for the holidays and a break. We'll start up, but I don't want in that time for us to kind of continue on a down, not that we are in, but continue on a downtrend of, you know, well, yeah, it's not really that important. And it has nothing to do, believe me, I could find other things to do with my time as well during this time. This has nothing to do with me having something important to say or let's get better at guitar. It has all to do with we need this time as a family to really encourage each other. Because there's things that we go through as worshipers that, you know, that we understand and can encourage each other in. And it also is a time where we can raise each other up, because that's a lot of what we do in worship too, is encourage. Yeah, go higher, but I'm high, but keep higher.
Oh, yeah.
And because we are in a position where, you know, just like Judah was, the tribe of Judah and the praisers on the front lines of the front line, you're going to get shot at there, and you need shield. You need protection. You need your person right next to you because you're going to get hit by the enemy there. But you're also going to get to see the new thing that God's doing before anybody else too. And so it's that balance of responsibility with the joy that you get to in that position of honor that the Lord's given you. And so I take it seriously, not as seriously as I probably should, but I mean, I take that seriously. But at the same time, I need encouragement. You need encouragement. So let's continue to rally for that. And if we're feeling like we're going to be broken because we're stretched, let's really encourage each other. No, the character of God is not to break you in the sense of snap, you're done. But he wants to soften us more so that we are more pliable, more stretchable, so that his kingdom purposes are accomplished.
I just want to share what I shared with the team this morning, because I think it will encourage all of us, and just so also we're all on the same page. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to start in 4. This says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." As you all know, we're in warfare, and we're challenged with the things of this life every day. But this is the part that the Lord hit me with last night. He was speaking to me about being a vessel of honor. And as a worship leader, as someone who is on the front lines, well, we are vessels, and we want to be vessels of honor. Therefore, well, where should I start here? Let's just start at 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So shun youthful lust. I cannot even say this morning. Ah! So flee youthful lusts. I know, I can't like say it. Youthful lust. And this is what he's calling us to pursue: righteousness, to pursue faith, to pursue love, to pursue faith with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So we just want to keep ourselves in a position of cleansing the latter, cleansing the iniquities, and standing in a place of honor and saying, I'm a clean vessel. I'm a vessel of honor. I want to honor you. I want to honor. And he's so awesome, just cleaning us and cleansing us and refilling us and filling us again. And that we would pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And I say pursue patience and all those things. So you are a vessel of honor as you allow the Lord to cleanse yourselves and stand before him with that humble heart. Andy.
Speak really loud so we at least get it in here.
One thing, just as Josh been sharing, the Lord kind of like what Josh talking about in the seasons when we're being stretched, and it's kind of like we're in that place of experiencing the, you know, the frustration or almost to the breaking point. And sometimes the thing that helps, that I believe the Lord releases, that I think for each one of us to help us continue on through the process that he has for us, is that a lot of times in the seasons where we're being stretched, he's actually stretching us so that down the road we're going to be able to pour out, be able to carry the increase that he's going to pour out. And so that's what Josh was saying, it's how we respond, it's the decisions that we make when we're in those stretching moments that actually determine what's going to be coming down the road. I mean, the Lord's going to pour out because the Lord's going to pour out. Mm-hmm. It's just my decision of how I respond to stretching is going to actually affect me and how much I'm going to carry down the road. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Like,
yeah, it makes sense.
And so that really helps me, because then I realize, oh, this moment that I'm up against, even though it's challenging me in my flesh and stretching me, there's an actual better benefit down the road for somebody else. Because the Lord's desire is that what he's imparting here with us in the realms of worship, he wants to impart these things in us and instill these things in us, not just on an information level, because that's awesome and that's great. But like Josh said, we could walk out the doors and we could be like, well, that was great information, and then it's on the shelf. But it actually gets like worked out in our hearts. And so that the Lord's desire is that he's imparting that into us now so that we can go into a new level and a new place with him that he's pouring out for us. But then so also down the road in the future, we can actually pour that out into other people that the Lord's going to bring in here. Because who knows that 15 years from now, you know, it might be some, there's going to be a whole new crop of people that are going to have to learn and experience these same things. And we'll be able to impart to them and share with them the processes and the things that the Lord's done in our hearts, so that down the road when somebody else is in the same place that we're in the stretching of, we can say, hey, I know that. I've been there. I can understand that. And that's the unique dynamic of, especially the things that you're in frontline, because sometimes we're in so many different areas, it's like, oh my gosh, just give me like one or two that I can focus on, because then I'll be happy. Yeah. And the Lord's saying, well, that's great, but the reason why I'm expanding you in so many of those areas is so that later on down the line, when I move you into a more influential position that he's always moving us into, you can actually relate to the person that's struggling with the same thing that you did, or you have an actual understanding of, hey, I did that, even though I didn't necessarily like it or think it was the best thing, but I know from firsthand experience, being in the situation environment, these are the feelings, the thoughts, the frustrations, all of that, that I can just then be like, I completely know and I completely understand that. And it's not spoken that from like, well, I know that because of the spiritual principle that you should do this. No, I've actually practically walked it out. I've been there. Uh-huh. You know, I've done it. I understand what you're saying, so here let me encourage you to continue on in the process where you have an actual, authentic anointing of impartation. It's not just knowledge that it picked up somewhere along the line and was like, here you go. Because the person's response, if they just get knowledge from you, they're going to be like, well, that was some great information. They just go right on their way. I hope that makes sense, but that always helps me for the Lord to like re-highlight to you the bigger picture and what he's doing and what he's building, because then it'll enable me to make the decisions that I need to make. And it's kind of like, even though I know this costs me something, like Josh said, then you get into that grace where it's like, oh my gosh, I thought this would take so much effort from me, but now it's effortless mm-hmm. by grace. But the Lord isn't just going to be like, I want to come down and smack you with grace, which goodness and mercy follow us and they chase us. But I'm just saying, God's not going to come down and sovereignly like, he can.
I'm right here, stupid.
No, oh,
he's not going to necessarily like, I'm going to make you want to do da-da-da-da-da-da. Because we could be waiting for the feeling and emotion to come right. on. It's like, yeah, I can't wait to run to the church and pray, you know, at like 3 a.m. in the morning.
So we can't afford to wait till our emotions line up to make the right decision,
Yeah, and then when we make the decision, more often than not, we find there's grace released to change our emotions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Because God cares about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you read books, like, you relate to the, like, for example, I've heard more people comment on Mahesh Shavda's testimony that he ate a whole bag of potatoes.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Like, if you ask somebody what they remembered from the fasting book, I remember Mahesh ate a whole bag of potato chips during a fast, but then they say he continued on, he didn't feel condemned, and blah blah blah. Why is that? It's because he actually had a human, you know, feeling and struggle, but yet he pressed through it and had a testimony that he shared. If he gave up, he then wouldn't have a testimony. And that we can relate to that, and we're going to remember that. And it's more than just, you know, him presenting information from the Bible about what we should do fast. It's him telling, here's a guy who went on how many 39, 40 day fasts, or 36, or how many ever, a lot of 40 day fasts, and he had a whole potato chip bag of potato chips in one of them. You know, if that doesn't encourage us, and the Bible's filled with that kind of stuff too. We were just looking at Abraham's life in Bible study. You know, it doesn't necessarily say, oh yeah, Abraham, the father of faith, except for that one time. The Bible doesn't record it that way. It records him as the father of faith because that's how God looks at him. And so God looks at us that same way. Is that you walked through that,
And yeah, it wasn't perfect that you walked through it, but you continued walking through it. You didn't stop and go another direction. And that's why, you know, when we were talking about patience in Bible study last night, we talked about why endurance is so important, patience is so important, is because eventually it may take longer than you and God want it to, and it may not even be God's best, but if you stay on the track, God's going to get you there eventually. Yeah, you can go a lot faster, and maybe Pat will be one to talk about that a lot, is, you know, it only really is going to take as long as you want it to take, and you can be as close as you want to be, and that's true. The flip side and encouraging side of that is, yeah, as long as you stay on the track, God's going to get you there eventually as well, and so being patient and enduring, God's going to get us there. But if we jump the track, if we give up, if we make choices in that stretching period that I just can't do this anymore, then that's where everything breaks. Then not only do we, you know, lose patience and faith and hope, and we lose the vision, we waste the process. And that's the point where, you know, we have to be on our guard for ourselves and others, is that we, you know, in that moment of stretching, in that time of I'm feeling these kind of things, I make a decision with my will based on those kind of things that takes me off the track. Not that you can't get back on, but then you're in a dangerous spot where you have the position of actually going off track and staying off track. So that's a sensitive area that we really want to be able to watch out for ourselves and in others. Because wouldn't it be a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say a shame, but a little bit of a, I don't even know the word, kind of sad, if we go through 99.9% of the process and we're almost there and then we just give up. And that's why we need endurance. But it's not like it's an endurance of, man, I just got to endure and I just, I'm, how you doing today, worship leader? I'm enduring. You know? That's the lowest denominator Christianity, worship leader. I'm here, brother. I know you're here, you know, that's ground zero. You're here, okay, great. I'm glad you're here and not off, you know, on a different train track. But, you know, that's the lowest common denominator. We're shooting for everybody being pushed up to the highest level. So, well, I'm glad you're just here. You know, I'm here and I'm excited, you know. And then you start speaking into them what's deposited in you by the Holy Spirit. Not what you've learned from all of your, not, you know, like any, but it's something that the Holy Spirit has deposited in you. If you're the one that, you know, is feeling that way that day, speak it in others. If you're not feeling that way, start speaking in others, and they start probably feeling that way. Just to further reiterate, we need to do that for each other now more than ever, because when times like these come where, you know, we're getting challenged in a good way, many of us will respond with an initial yes, 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 yes. But many times after going through other things, our yes is still there, but it starts to dwindle a little bit. It's a yes, and then a yes, and a yes, and a yes. And we never get to maybe. And then maybe we never get to no. But we want to keep our yeses not just as a yeah, yeah, I'm still here, but yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And if you have that resounding in your heart, speak that into somebody else. Speak that into everybody else. Because we all need to keep that, to keep, you know, going higher and higher. Do you have
some? I just had, like, a kind of a testimony, lesson learned of, you know, just what we're talking about when with your schedules and stuff. You know, I work 4 to midnight, but sometimes I have to stay till 2 o'clock. So it was a... It was an all-nighter, and I got done at 2 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm not going. Lord, I'm tired. Please give me the okay that I don't have to go. You know, I'm asking the Lord, and you know how you tell yourself, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Well, I didn't come. I was like, I went home, I went to sleep, and I slept okay that night. And I got up, and the next night, no sleep. Absolutely. I stayed up the entire night. I could not sleep whatsoever. And I had a whole week of hardly any sleep that night. So I thought, oh, I'll go home. I'll get a great night's sleep. On the next day, next time, I'll be good. But there are nights that I've been, when I do say, yes, Lord, I'm going, and only on 1 hour's sleep or 2 hours of sleep, that I have energy that's like unbelievable because I stepped into faith that the Lord's going to provide the energy that I'm going to be able to get done the things I need to get done, the leaves and all that junk and the home stuff, and still get done what the Lord is calling me to do, where He's calling me at. So that's the best way when you can step into faith and know that the Lord is going to provide you with that energy.
Yeah.
And that's
in the probably the biggest well, I don't want to say the biggest, but a major area that the enemy can easily get in is we can start to assume that, you know, the way that we're feeling, nobody else will understand. And that's a big one for me. Oh, yeah, I'm a doctor and I work a lot of different shifts and I want to think, nobody's going to understand. And the Lord has to get me on that because I always say that to my, you know, no one, I mean, I'm just from Africa. And it's like, I mean, what? You know, I'm not human? Yeah. People are going to understand it may not be the exact same scenario, but they're probably dealing with harder scenarios, you know? And the enemy tries to speak that one into me. No one's going to understand. You might as well not share with them because they're just not going to understand. And so that's one thing. Another thing is that, you know, the way that I'm feeling, you know, they probably haven't felt before, or, you know, it's going to make me look a certain way, or I'm going to look less spiritual, and I'm supposed to be the worship leader, and if I share with them, I mean, we have to really throw all of that stuff out, because all of those are excuses, and all of those are about ourselves. Mm-hmm. They're not about the Lord, they're definitely not about the person next to us, and they're definitely not about what God's doing. And so, I would encourage you even more, if you're feeling that, I pretty much guarantee somebody else on the worship team either is, has, or will feel those same things. So you might as well get together and pray through it now.
Yes.
Because if it hasn't been a problem for them and it's not a problem, it probably will be. And then they'll have to be able to come and look back and be like, I remember when Andy struggled with that. I had no clue what he was talking about, but I just was obedient and prayed with him. And he had breakthrough in that. And now I understand. 10 years later, and I'm going to have breakthrough in Jesus' name because, you know, it's going to be encouraging one way or another. And so don't let the enemy isolate you, even not geographically, like you're not here, not that, but isolate you emotionally or, you know, nobody else can understand. You don't know what I'm going through. I feel like this, and you've never had to feel like that. And that can... I'm not meaning this in a negative way, but that can happen with women a little bit more easily with guys in issues that have nothing to do with worship. But I can't connect with you because this is your life and this is mine and they're totally opposite. And so maybe we can understand each other, you know, in the worship realm, but outside of the worship realm, can't understand each other at all. Typically. Am I right or wrong on those kind of things?
You know, like...
I stopped listening. Oh, okay. I stopped listening to you if you're not a woman.
So. Oh.
And quite clear, you can't
you mean
it to her. I'm
sorry. You mean like, I work at till midnight every night. You don't work till midnight every night. You don't know how I feel. And I gotta be up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I gotta sleep in till 8 o'clock.
No, I'm saying, as a general rule of thumb, many times outside of the worship arena, that women will not feel like that if their lives aren't very similar, that they're not going to have.
Yeah, you got yourself in a hole.
Women, it's harder to connect if they don't have similar lifestyles.
Yeah,
Katie
or that you won't connect on things that are dissimilar. You'll focus on the areas where your connection is similar. Where with guys, we'll get together and be like, "Yeah, that's green grass over there."
I have an example.
how's the weather? You know,
Katie's first.
Well,
oh, sorry, Katie's first.
Anyway, sorry.
No, I just like.
Not that that comment's really important.
I mean, I totally get what you're saying because honestly, for me, like, I'm just going to be completely vulnerable. But this week, like, I mean, the enemy was like, trying to get me isolated at this emotional. You know, I'm here.
Right.
But then, especially, I'm just going to lay it out there. With me not being able to connect with Christy, like just the stuff that, the warfare that was coming against me, the stuff that was coming against my mind, and God put Christy in my path to encourage me, to pray for me, but because I was like, you know what, our lives are so different, she doesn't get me. There's no way that she can encourage me, there's no way that she can pray for me or have a grid for what I'm going through, and that was such a lie. Like, even though our lives are so completely different right now in the season, in the natural, like, she was who I needed to encourage me, not just in worship, but what was going on, like, in my life, and that's who God was sending to encourage me and pray for me. And I think that's true.
And that's what I was trying to say. Like, you're a single mom, and this person over here has five children, and their husband stays home. You know, or that's not any of people here. I have children, and you're a teenager, and you're not even married yet. Or I work this high class business job, and I work all the time, and you're a stay at home mom. I don't think I can relate to you. Where, you know, Andy, you're a painter, I'm an emergency room doctor. I don't go, sorry, dude, I can't really relate to you. You're a painter. You know, it's just like, I'm as a general rule of thumb, that usually isn't an issue between guys, where with girls they might say, not that it has to be with every girl, but that was my whole point, is that there's those kind of things that can get in the way of us connecting on a spiritual level. Or relegating it to, well, I can only connect with that person in the worship realm, and everything else of my life I'm going to hold back. Yeah, the drums were good today. Well, yeah, the guitar was good. Awesome, brother. Awesome, sister. And then, you know, but we're, you know. I'm just, and where the Lord has this safe place for us, and even when we're outside of in party times, outside this room, to really, you know, to make a concerted effort to say, hey, how you doing? You know, how's it going? And if nobody else does that in your life, you know, do that in somebody else's life, and then you'll probably get that reciprocated at some point in time. So
don't wait around.
I just wanted to say that it's funny that you said that, because last night Courtney and I were watching Facing the Giants, and I think most people in here have seen that, but the part where David... trying out for the football team the first time, he just goes, he walks up the field, he talks to the guy who's the kicker, and they just go, and he's like, hey man, how are you? And Courtney goes, she just makes this comment, she's like, it's so much easier for guys to do that, isn't it? And she's like, girls, you know, that when they come to each other, you know, like, kind of like, what is this person all about? But with guys, like, hey man, how you doing? And then, you know, just they're buddies after that, you know. So it was kind of funny you said that, because she said that when she made that comment last night, and made me think about that. So
yeah, but once you guys get close, then you guys just like follow each other in the bathroom.
Yes,
this is true.
Going on there.
And once you got a friend, you got a friend.
The connections take a little bit longer, but they're usually a little bit deeper. Connections are a little bit shorter and easier to get to, but they're usually a little bit shallower on a general
And you're
basis.
Not getting rid of me.
Kim and Mike.
No, you. Earlier when you said the Bible says that Abraham was
father of
many nations.
Except for that one time. And when you said that, the Lord like really shouted to me, that's the way we need to come towards each other, is like, I see you. We have to approach it there. Because like when we're joking about all these differences, a lot of these are lies as far as
it really doesn't have to be that way. We've created that down here, but the truth is, we're supposed to look at each other the way God looks at us. And he just like shouted to me, that's why I want you to speak to each other, is exactly what I see. Mm-hmm. You know, and just, I mean, because when you said, you know, Abraham, the father of faith, except for that one time, I thought, oh, but God never said that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He never said that.
Right.
So if I say, Christy, you're that awesome worship leader, done.
Right.
Right.
You know, not have to follow you in the bathroom, not for different age, not we have different amount of kids or our husbands with different professions.
Mm-hmm.
I look at you, we pray for God's eyes.
Right.
And he just like really just is like, that's what I want you to do is speak to each other like I see them. Mm-hmm. Ask for my eyes and start there.
Yeah.
Then it's not hard to walk across. It's not as hard. Then walking across a football field or walking across a classroom to another girl to ask for a pen will not seem different anymore. You know, I'm sorry. That's, he just
no,
like,
ugh. And knowing each other after the Spirit that way.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to do, both in the negative and the positive aspect. In the negative aspect of, you know, when we know each other as well as we do, we know each other's faults and we know each other's successes. But also in the positive aspect of, you know, I need to know what your spirit, not your the soul of you. I need to know what you need there, not what I see on the outside, because we're good at not allowing what is on the inside to be on the outside a lot. And we need to have the discernment and to know each other after the Spirit. That when Mike walks in leading worship, and he's got a big smile on his face, but his heart's not smiling, that I need to be there to lift him up. And I might not know that if I just look at his face. And same for me. Now, I need people that are going to come in and be like, things not going, didn't go so well this week, did they? You had, you know, many times, and I'm learning, you know, many times that's the thing that speaks to me is because it's like, oh, I've had someone that read my mail and understands, now I'm open to receive, instead of just going to someone and saying, man, this is how, well, because I've got that thing in the worship leader inside of me that, you know, I've got to be at my top game 100% of the time, all the time, for everybody else to see, because I'm in that position. And then sometimes I need to say, yeah, that's true, that's good, but where's your vulnerability? Where's your genuineness? Where is the authenticity that, yeah, you want to be there, but you're not there. I'll take you there, but you have to start here to get there. And that's a much better place to be than pretending to start there and staying there than starting here and letting God actually take you there. But point being is that we need to know each other by the Spirit that way, because God's designed it to be that way, to encourage each other. And it might not, and you might not always have the person that comes up and just says, yeah, this is what I'm dealing with, pray for me. We can do that here because it's a safe, you know, we're safe with each other, but you might not be in that place. And yet if someone comes up to you and says, you know, don't have to speak to the problem, but hey, I just want to encourage you. And then it happens all the time. People will speak words or a picture or an impression or just something that you don't really even think anything about. Oh, Andy, I'm just seeing that, you know, you're an apple tree. And it means something totally like amazing to him that I had no clue about that changed the atmosphere in his heart, changed it for him and just turned things around. And to me, it was just, maybe I saw that. I don't know. I just looked at an apple tree on the way in before. Maybe I was just thinking about that and just know each other by the Spirit that way. And so that's good. And that also takes down gender barriers, cultural barriers, socioeconomic barriers, you know, you name it, age barriers. You know, how many times have we talked on the phone where, you know, we've encouraged each other, yet we're really from different generations, different pasts, different, totally different, yet we're here and we're on the same team and we can know each other by the Spirit that way. And I can be encouraged by you, you can be encouraged by me, even though, you know, you could be my mom. You know what I mean?
And I would be very proud.
And his mom is.
So that's what I love and appreciate about all of this is because we can know each other by the Spirit that way. And
you actually Mike. Look a lot like his mom. Doesn't she? Her hair is big smile.
I just had kind of a question. Like one of the things I kind of struggle with, and I'll be a little bit as well. She's like, share your light, lay it on. Well, just I get one of the things like is like since you know I'm you know yes the Spirit of God lives in me, yes I'm a born again Christian, and yes all the things are true, but yes, well, since I have I don't always do things right and perfectly, obviously none of us do, but like even like mistakes that we make, or I'm trying to figure out how to ask this, but like even sometimes being able to trust yourself, like the decisions that you're, like, you're not doing anything wrong or whatever, but you're, maybe things have been pointed out to you that weren't, you know, oh, well, you need to work on this issue, or, you know, you need to take this to the Lord, this fear, or that, and then you start to, like, one of the things I, like, for me is I can start to look into myself and think, well, I must be doing everything wrong, and those are obviously lies at times I have, you know, that try to come into my mind, but it's like, I must be doing everything wrong because I'm human and because I make mistakes. How do I know when I'm doing something right or when, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like trying to, I don't know if you maybe can speak to that at times, because sometimes it's hard, it can be easy to see at times, like, oh yeah, I know I'm walking, I know that this is the right decision, it's, you know, or that there's other times where it's not as easy to see. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, and Lord, am I really, you know, how do I trust that my heart is right in this? Mm-hmm. Like, you start to begin to doubt your heart. And
sure.
That's hard, you know what I mean? And then you start to easily look at yourself and think, well, my heart must be way off. And then you, it just gets really discouraging.
Sure. I think overall, there's two ways that you could approach it. One is dangerous and one is safe. So you can probably imagine which one is God's heart. The safe way is, you know, like we do in pretty much everything in Western society. We get on the horseback, we've got our saddle, we've got our reins in hand, and that horse has been beaten to smithereens to know that your will is broken, and unless you do what I say, you're not allowed doing anything else. And as we learn that that horse cooperates with what we want to do, we loosen the reins a little bit, loosen the reins a little bit, loosen the reins a little bit. And then we're like, yeah, now I can trust this horse. That's the way that seems logical, and that's the way that you'll probably hear most people tell you is the way to do it. You know, just after you've had a success in one area, then start trusting yourself a little bit more, and then open up your heart. And, you know, eventually, someday you'll get to that point to where you can just let your heart be free and just go after it with no, you know, no problems. And that makes sense to us, but I don't think that's God's heart. That's the safe way. And that's the way that we probably in our flesh will do it. I got some good feedback that one day, so that was good. Okay, let's build upon this. Next time I'm going to try that same exact thing, add a little bit more prophetic dynamic in it, see what kind of feedback I get. Ooh, that was good feedback. My pastors liked it. All right, I'm going to open up just a little bit more and try this time. And that's the way that we think is good. And I'm not saying that that's altogether a bad thing. Because when there's safe people giving us feedback, that's good. But the other thing is we look at the cross and we say, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. So I'm going to basically look at my life as I've given over everything to the Lord. So now, anything that I do out of my life in Christ is His responsibility, as long as my heart is in the right place. So then our focus becomes less on what we're doing in our behavior and more, have I kept my heart with all diligence? For out of it flows the issues of life. And God, I have to keep my heart in a spot before you and then just let it go. And then we don't take it personally. We trust that everything that's coming through us is being given by the Holy Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit or someone who knows the Holy Spirit well checks that. But with that caveat, we aren't going to do everything perfect. And that's why where the dangerous part comes in, is when we realize at the cross that we've been totally made righteous
totally redeemed. We don't have a sinful nature. We have a new nature, and so that new nature is designed just to be expressed in fullness, and we really capture that revelation. We really believe it. We are in we're in fields of grace. There's no judgment. There's no law. It's just all love. And we really believe that and have a revelation of that, then really there's nothing we can do that's wrong. However, we're still human. We do make mistakes. We are working with people, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's where counsel and authority and people that are in our lives to help protect us from making mistakes are put there. Because now you're in this field of freedom. Well, God wants you to learn how to use that freedom so that it's not going to hurt other people and it's going to benefit other people. So that's where I have leaders in our lives to give us more revelation, just like the Holy Spirit does, to show us things that have already been given to us in Christ. Does that make sense? So the area where we get where it gets tricky is that when leaders share things with us in that very open-hearted, vulnerable state, we can start to receive offense and receive a rejection and condemnation that makes us feel like I want to be reined in again. Because when I'm reined in, I feel comfortable because then everything I do, I know is going to be okay. But that's limited. That's being bit and bridle. You're the horse. The horse knows he's not going to get beaten because the only move he makes is the move his master tells him to do. But God is not that type of master. He has given us freedom to choose whatever we want in this field of grace, but we're still going to make some wrong decisions. But in him, he turns them out to be right as long as our heart's right. So the challenge in that area, and hopefully this will wrap up to make sense, but the challenge in that area is with other people and with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Other people come in and want to kind of mold and shape and help us learn how to walk in that freedom. And if we have rejection or condemnation or these sense that we have to be perfect because we don't really believe that we're fully accepted in God's heart, then we'll tend to want to be reined in because then there's no way anyone can tell me otherwise. There's no way anyone can say I messed up. There's no way I can feel rejected. There's no way I can feel condemned. There's no way I can be hurt because I'm not making any decision apart from what parents, leadership, you name it, says. So I can't be hurt. I don't have to take any personal responsibility for it because, well, you told me to do that song, and so that's why I did it. And you told me to go fast, and so I went fast. Or you told me to go slow, but that's limiting. There's no real fulfillment in that. Or we can fling the doors wide open and say, God, whatever happens, I'm trusting that you're doing it. And if someone in my life comes in and tells me that that probably wasn't the Lord, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, for showing me. And thank you, God, for putting them in my life so that I can really, truly learn how to walk in this large field of grace. And then that Lord will use that to rip those areas out of our life where we start to look at our authorities like we look at God. God's not going to come down and swat us and tell us you did something wrong. But he's there and will love the discipline, will love the correction, will love the steering instead of being concerned that when they're speaking those words of adjustment, that those are words of condemnation and you did it wrong and all of that. It's more dangerous, but it's more freeing at the same time. It's more vulnerable, but it's more freeing. Does that make sense? Someone else want to speak to that?
Well, I think some of it too comes back to how we identify ourselves. It comes back to our identity. Because if my identity is wrapped up in, if I do everything right, or I want to get these things right, then sometimes if either a corrective word comes or there's maybe another way of looking at it, sometimes it challenges my identity.
Yep.
Because my identity isn't based necessarily in the Lord and how he sees me, but it's based on kind of that law mentality of, well, like Josh was saying, like, I know if I do these things right, then I'll be safe. If that makes sense. Like,
yep.
We'll know, I think, that when we're making the right decisions is that the Lord will speak that to us and encourage us in whatever way that he does to show us that we're going in the right direction. But there's times then when, like, either corrections are offered or whatever, it's easier for us to receive it because we don't define ourselves as oh my gosh, I'm this big giant mistake maker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I must have this repetitive problem mm-hmm. because, my gosh, I kept getting talked to about this. And then it just begins a cycle of, I view myself not necessarily from the Lord's heart, because the Lord's heart is speaking to me to that so I can get it. Not so that he's speaking it to me so that he can say, like, I've spoken to you at least 8 times now.
Just a second.
You know, and then in our minds we're thinking, oh my God, Lord, I should be better than this. And the Lord's like, I'm not having somebody speak to me so that he's saying that, hey, you should be better at this. It's I'm speaking that to you because this is an area, an opportunity to grow.
Not yet.
Not just where it's defined in right and wrong.
And
it's relational phase.
To add on to that, just because this is something the Lord, he's actually brought a lot of freedom to me. I had a really big struggle with that for a long time, just feeling like, ugh, I can't do anything right. It doesn't matter what I do. It just seems wrong. And it's right on with the identity because even when my identity wasn't in Christ fully, when I wasn't really seeing myself that way, my perception of what people were saying to me was completely and totally off. Just completely and totally off. And it would come to me as a lie from the enemy. And that's what I was hearing. That's how I heard it. Because my identity was not where it should have been. So I concur with that because that's what the Lord was speaking to me when I heard that. And just always trusting our identity in Christ, in Him, and using that as our foundation for sure.
And it's also like the motivation behind the people that the Lord's put in our lives to help us see those things. The motivation behind their heart ultimately is for us to be better. It isn't like they're doing it like, oh my gosh, you need to get this right because of X, Y, and Z. It's like they're speaking it out of a heart of, like the motivation of their heart is love and care and concern for the person. Because I know there's sometimes for me, like when I miss it on something or whatever, and then somebody's saying, well, there's another way of looking at it, or you could have, you know, maybe done this, or you could have maybe done that. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they just don't like me. Or, or I find myself, like, reacting defensively to what they're saying, because it's like, it's at a base level kind of like messing with my identity. It's like, I don't want to hear that. But like Christy said, through our filter, that's not even their heart at all, but sometimes, because sometimes I don't want to hear what they have to say because it's bringing up to me something that I know is wrong and I just don't want to hear it. So then I will put a spin on what they're saying so that I don't have to listen to it. Because, you know what I mean? It's like, well, you just think about me this way because, you know, you think about me this way because you have a problem with me that you're really not telling me, and you're putting it under their guise that you really want to help me, but I really know deep down on the inside that you really do think I'm a screw up, and that's why you keep coming around and mentioning these things to me. Which then, at its base level, is just my flesh's way of deflecting what I really need to hear, but I don't want to hear. Because I think with like some of the other things that Josh was saying in the whole like stretching process, I know the thing that always helps me realize when I'm off the page is that if I'm justifying anything in my head, like if I'm holding an internal conversation with myself, and I am listing out to myself the reasons why I'm not doing something, more often than not, I know that I'm not in the place the Lord wants me to be.
I think too, it's cool how like the Lord uses those things, because I know I come up against that all the time, and I know it's just the Lord trying to tweak, you know, different things, but how he's used that for me to discern the hearts, my heart and the hearts of the people talking
mm-hmm. yes.
as well, like, because I have, you know, we all have many different people at different levels of, you know, in love with the Lord, and maybe not even people who want to run your life and don't even know the Lord at all, so... You know, and it's able to, like, the Lord has been teaching me how to discern where they're coming from, maybe what they're filtering things through, and also, why am I feeling this way? Is it because of what Andy's saying, because I'm off the page and I don't want to, you know, be there? Or is there something that the Lord wants to speak through me to the other, you know, to the other person or the other people or, you know, whatever? And
that's been something that's been really a key for me, like discerning my heart, because I could be offended. I could be, you know, a million different things, but, you know, if it's not what the Lord wants me to be, then, you know, I'm going to be going off the page anyway, either way I look at it. So it's really, like, I don't know, discernment.
Yeah, when you were talking about, I was hearing the Spirit in me will know the Spirit in that person who's speaking to me. And when Chris was talking about being a holy vessel and keeping ourselves in a place where we remain that holy vessel, just to say, you know, Spirit, is that the truth? Hmm. Tell me, is that the truth? You know, but keeping your spirit man being the speaker of you is a struggle for me. I don't know just for everybody else, but always having the Spirit in control of my life is... But the Spirit in my life and the Spirit of somebody who's correcting me and somebody who's an authority over me will recognize that Spirit as speaking truth in me, you know. And if I regress or digress and go down, you know, then that comes back to me, you know, keeping myself in that, being that holy vessel that I can speak to myself and say, you know, okay, what's the truth? You know, because I'm here because I believe that person has authority over me. I'm here because that I believe that person loves me. That person came to me probably because they love me, especially in this arena. You know, I know in this arena is because they love me. But it's just the Spirit to the Spirit and just keeping ourselves in a place where our Spirit is speak. Because I've heard, you know, heard you share things like where, you know, you know that's not right. That somebody spoke something, no, that's not me. It's not who I am. Or it's, you know, it's not, that's their pain talking. Or, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's my pain. I've talked to you out of my pain, you know. And so when the Spirit of the Lord in each of us connects, you know, that's where you can trust your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a lot of that is a deep revelation of the cross in really trusting that God is who he says he is in our lives and being okay with making a mistake if it doesn't happen and trusting that God's going to work that out. But if our identity or if our acceptance in him isn't at that place, then that's going to be a little bit harder to do because then we have something potentially to lose. Where in spirit, we, you know, are going after everything that we are all going after together, and we make a mistake in that process, we really don't have anything to lose because we're still going after it. But if we look at it as, I have something to lose by going for this and making a mistake, then we're probably not seeing ourselves and not seeing going after him through his eyes because we don't have anything to lose. But that's why one of my favorite verses in that is, in, I think it's in 1 John 3, that, you know, says, Beloved, if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our hearts. But if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. They're both win-win situations, but one is a better win-win situation. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. Win. But if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Win. Better win. And either way, we're in a good position because God's greater. But he wants us to bring us into that point where our heart doesn't condemn us and we don't condemn ourselves. Because we have nothing to lose. We're going after everything that we can in the Lord and trying our best to just surrender. God, do everything that you want to do. And it's God's responsibility. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It's his responsibility to bring into our path the things that we need to change or whatnot to go to the next level. We can't make it happen in our own efforts. And so I think it's just getting into a deeper level of trust with the Lord and a deeper revelation of our identity in him.
And another thing, I mean, just we're surrounded by people here in this body who are always wanting to draw out the greatness in you. And sometimes that can come across as, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it right. I don't know if you guys already talked about that when I was out, but I know for me, being the PK here, that's always been for me. So in my immature mind in the past, and still in some points, but in that way, was I'm not doing it right. I'm, you know, But in fact, what was happening was they were drawing out the greatness in me, drawing out the giftings in me, and saying, come on, you're full of more than that. You're and just trying to draw that greatness out. And I think that's what the Lord wants to, for us as a team to do in all of us. He calls us as worshipers to stir each other up in our most holy faith by singing, by laughing, by just walking in the Spirit together. And He's called us to do that. It's so fun and so awesome, but just stirring up that gift in each other and just drawing out the greatness in one another. It's a high calling. It's a wonderful act of love.
Because when, you know, children hear that from their parents, spiritual or natural, you're either going to receive it as, I'm just not doing good enough, or you're going to receive it as, man, you know, they're speaking to my identity here. Mm-hmm. I'm more than this. Mm-hmm. I can do more than this. They see me as bigger than where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And that is the call for leaders to do, and leaders underneath them in their lives, is to pull them up to that level and even higher than they're already going. And so a lot of places you won't have that because
it's a cost to them.
It is. It's a cost to the people that are doing
rejection,
that.
Judgment.
And so we have the blessing of having people that aren't afraid to do that. They're not afraid, you know, to be yelled at back, you know. They're not afraid to, you know, have you get in their face after they've given you something that the Lord, they feel is from the Lord. And that's real good. I'm glad that they're healthy, you know, our pastors are healthy that way, because there's been times where I've, you know, very freely thinking, you know, I'm comfortable in my identity to speak that way back to our pastors, you know, and said things that I wasn't fighting with them. I was fighting with what they were saying, which was from the Lord. And that, as Andy said, I just didn't want to hear. And it just happened to come from their mouths. But it's good. It's good that they're not afraid to keep saying these things, because they'll draw us up to a higher level. And we all can be deepened in so many different areas. I mean, that's what was so encouraging to me about Pastor Bill sharing, that the Holy Spirit was deepening in levels he thought he was strong in that he didn't even realize he needed to deepen in. I said, man, if I was at that point, I can think of so many levels, areas I need deepened in. But to get to a place where I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty good on that one. And then the Holy Spirit does something miraculous, supernatural, that and says, oh, I'm going to deepen you in this. And you're like, I didn't even know I needed deepened in that. And that's encouraging. That means I can be to that point, and then God's still going to take it deeper. And I won't even know that I need deepened in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, Pastor Bill's not going around in his life going, man, ooh, I can't share that because I might need to be deepened. You know, he's a fairly confident in who he is in Christ. He's not up at the front being like, well, the word of the Lord says, or it might be the word of, I'm not really sure if that's the word of the Lord, but it might be the word of the Lord. And if it is the word of the Lord, this is what he's saying today. He's trusting that what comes out of his mouth is the word of the Lord. And if it's not, it's God's problem, and God's going to let him know. Because God's put him in that place. You wouldn't want him to be up there, you know, well, it might be the word of the Lord that I'm going to speak today. But if it's not, you know, don't be hurt by it. And I'm going to share it anyway, even though it really might. You wouldn't want that type of pastor. He's going in saying, I'm confident in who God's made me, what God has done in my life, and I'm sharing this is the word of the Lord. But then God still says, well, here's three things I'm going to deepen in you that you already thought you were pretty good in. And releases a whole new realm for him that spills out on the body. I mean, that's encouraging to me. That makes me feel like I can go around and I cannot even have a clue that I have an issue in this area. And I can be completely happy and having a good time in life. And then the Lord reveals that to me, fixes it, deals with it, and then I go into a bigger area of happiness and joy, and that I don't have to go around always going, ooh, I might have an issue in that area. So, I mean, even we teach Bible studies, we do these things, and all of us are speaking in some different light. If we all just went around
And fear of the Lord is good, and I'm not talking about that, but fear and trepidation of I might say something that's wrong, and I'm not perfect in this area, so I can't share, and ooh, I can't lead worship day, ooh, I can't sing because, oh man, I spilled the apple juice this morning. You know, if we go around that's walking in the law. That's walking in a judgment level. That's walking in there is no Christ. There's no one that came in and, you know, took care of my sins so that I can walk in freedom. It's not a revelation of the Father's love. That's thinking, this thing is all dependent on how well I do. And it's totally nowhere dependent on how well we do. We just get to be, as Andy was talking about this morning and talking about the summer, we get to participate in what God's doing. And He will use us. Man, that's a lot more fun than thinking that, you know, it all depends on whether I push the right button or not, you know, in worship today. So, does that speak to your question, Mike?
Wow.
Half an hour later.
It's good, though. It's
awesome. Going to listen to the recording.
It's wrong.
Who was that? Don't repeat that.
Yeah,
well, this is totally, completely 100% different than what I had originally thought. Actually, it was one of the first times in a long time where I was just like, I have no clue what we are supposed to do. No clue. So I can either make something up, Lord, I can cancel it, or I can just wait and see what happens. So...
Let's hear for option three.
Oh, girl, I didn't see anything.
So, I'm going to like to cover just a couple practical areas, and then I will get a consensus opinion on what you'd like to do for skill tracks and hear some feedback on skill tracks for 5 minutes.
Skip them for today.